with those terrorists. We will be inclined to fear more anyone who does not look like us. I wondered if I should put this sermon away for a while. I wondered if it would seem odd to you, a little forced, to sing "Draw the Circle Wide" at the opening of worship this morning. But no. No terrorist act, no act of human violence, no fear should be able to shake us from our convictions as people of faith. This sermon is still going to be about God's unshakable insistence that in God's world, there are no strangers. There is no one who is too foreign to be welcomed among us. The truth is that the world is not much different than it was a week ago or before September 11th, 2001. God's hope for humanity and commandments about how to live were not based on some naive optimism that made more sense when the world was less complicated. The world has always been a scary place. We, humans, have always held the power to hurt one another. It has always been frightening to encounter someone who is different from you, to hold your hands out to someone you don't know, whose language you don't understand, and whose story you may not be able to identify with. The stranger has always seemed dangerous. People who have lived for a long time in a particular place have always resisted newcomers. But since the beginning of our story, God has reminded his people, you too were once a newcomer, a foreigner, an alien. You who tell the story of Abraham, of God saying, go from your home to a new land that I will show you. You who count as your ancestors, slaves who escaped from Egypt through the Red Sea. You of all people know what it is like to hear a voice say, go. When those spiritual ancestors of ours arrived in their new home, God said to them, now you are here in a new homeland. I brought you here, and I am saying to you, never oppress or create hardship for the alien who comes among you. Those who come to you needing something are to be treated with love and generosity. And I will be right here with you, making sure there is enough to go around. Everyone loves their own homeland best. But all through history, when life has become intolerable, when they felt they had no other choice, people have picked up their family and their belongings and moved somewhere else. Now we are in the middle of one of the greatest migrations of humanity that the world has ever seen. In Europe, millions of people are standing at borders, asking to be admitted to a country where they will be safe from the danger that forced them out of their homes. Children from Central America risk spending years in an American detention center because they're afraid they would die if they stayed in the place they loved, the place that was home for them. What all these refugees fear is the same kind of terror we fear. What they seek is the same kind of home we want for ourselves. Last week, the New York Times released a short film about three children whose families are part of this great migration. I want you to see it. Nearly 60 million people around the world have been driven from their homes by war and persecution, more than at any time since World War II. Half are children. This is the story of three of them. Displaced. Oleg, 11. Last year, the war in Ukraine forced Oleg and his parents to flee their village. When the fighting subsided, they returned. Last year, the war came to my village. I was very afraid. When we got back, everything was different.
Когда мы вернулись, то увидели, что здесь все очень изменилось.
Over the summer, Chuol's village in South Sudan was attacked. He fled with his grandmother to an island in the swamp. When they attacked, we fled into the swamps. We could see crocodiles. What I know is that if I am eaten by a crocodile, it may be a slow death. But it is better than being killed by the fighters. In the morning, my mother was gone. We were separated in the confusion. Hannah, 12. In 2012, Hannah and her family left Syria. They now live in a refugee settlement in the Bekaa Valley, Lebanon. I wake up at 4 each morning to work. I used to live in Syria, and then the war started. We are now in Lebanon, and we are waiting. The Lebanese don't like us and aren't good to us. I have to work every day to help my family. We pick cucumbers all morning. There are so many people here. More are coming all the time. They drop food so we can eat. Thank you. My father and grandfather never made it. They were put in the house and burned alive.
Но самое грустное то, что погиб мой дедушка.
The worst was that my grandfather was killed. His body lay there in the garden all winter. We found him months later when we came back. Before, when the teachers would yell at us, we'd say, wouldn't it be cool if the school blew up? I would never say that now. It's very hard, but I still have my friends. I hope one day the war will end. I'd go back to being a little girl like I was. If I could, I would turn into a lion, finish off my enemies, and turn back into a child. I tell myself, no matter what happens, even if shells are falling around us, I won't leave my home again. My name is Oleg Teryokin. I'm 11 years old. My name is Chuol. I live in South Sudan. My name is Hannah, and I'm 12 years old. Those children are not terrorists. We could talk for a long time about how government should deal with the families of children like Oleg and Chuol and Hannah. There are many things to say about what will happen to the economy and jobs and housing, healthcare and education if everyone who wants to move to a new country is allowed to enter. Our discussion might be full of practical and economic arguments. Those are the arguments we hear in politics. They are what candidates talk about, and they are important. People who call themselves Christian have different opinions. We too engage in those political debates. We cannot ignore the reality of a dangerous world. But we are people of faith. What shapes our minds and our hearts is not just politics or economics or even common sense. It's God's voice. Sometimes it's hard to know what God would say about contemporary issues. But this time, about immigration, it's not. God has been clear about this from the very beginning. God has always said, welcome whoever comes among you from the beginning. The alien who resides among you shall be to you as a citizen. You shall love the foreigner as yourself. God said that to the people of the Old Testament. I was a stranger and you welcomed me, Jesus said. When were you a stranger? They asked him. And he answered, every time you welcomed someone poor and desperate and a long way from home, you welcomed me. God is so certain about this that he became the stranger so that we might understand. Let us not be so afraid that we forget who we are, whose we are. Amen.